Let me ask you this. Have you memorized the fruit of the Holy Spirit yet? We've been going over it, and you'll get a chance some more, but let's read it together one more time. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well, I want to do a quick review here. Notice that Paul used the word fruit, not fruits, because he's describing the character of Jesus, that one character of Jesus, which the Holy Spirit produces in us. It's, one commentator said, it's a description of practical godliness. As this fruit is produced in it, the world sees it, and the Christian faith is attractive to those who do not know Christ. People wonder how you can be so loving or joyful or peaceful, or how you can be so patient. And it's also true that the Christian faith can appear to be hypocritical when people do not see evidence of that faith within us. As we abide in Christ, as we stay connected to Him through Bible study, worship, prayer, faith, and obedience that leads to actions, this fruit is produced in us. It does not happen overnight. I think that's a good news. We need to hear that. It doesn't happen overnight, but it is formed in us as we mature. And I might mention that spiritual maturity is not directly related to how long you've been a Christian. There have been people who have been Christians for years, decades, but haven't matured in Christ. And there are young Christians who are growing rapidly in Christ as they follow Him. How many of you have ever said this prayer? Lord, I need patience, and please hurry. Okay, probably all of us have said that prayer before. Please hurry, Lord. I think that we discover that, you know, we want God to operate on our timetable, but God operates on His timetable. Bill Gothard said this, patience is accepting a difficult situation without giving God a deadline to remove it. Patience, like the other fruit of the Spirit, is not natural to us. And I think developing patience is difficult because it goes against our human nature. We're not born with patience. Imagine this. A baby wakes up in the middle of the night, is hungry, diaper is wet, and lies there and thinks, you know, Mom and Dad had a hard day today. They were up late last night, had to get up early this morning, and, you know, I think I'll be considerate and I'll wait until a better time to wake them up. Anybody have babies like that? I don't think so. When a baby is ready, that baby cries impatiently and will not stop crying until he or she receives the attention they need to alleviate whatever it is causing that distress. It's not in our human nature to be patient. It needs to be produced in us. We need to spiritually mature to have patience. And because it's not in our human nature, that human nature of ours becomes a roadblock to patience. Another roadblock towards patience is our self-centeredness. If we were not so set on getting what we want for ourselves, I think we'd be more patient with other people. Heard a story about a man whose car stalled in heavy traffic. Anybody have that happen to you? He was at a light, the car stalled, and then the light turned green. And soon, as he's frantically trying to get his car to start, there's a chorus of horns honking behind him. And the car right behind him was laying it on real heavy. Finally, this man, the tension was built up. He couldn't stand anymore. He got out of his car. He walked back to the car behind him. He said to the guy, "Sir, I'm so sorry. I can't get my car started. If you go up and try to start my car, I'll stay here and honk your horn for you." Yeah, he needed patience, I tell you. Another roadblock to our patience is our culture. We all know we live in a fast-track society. We're constantly trying to stay ahead of the rat race. You know, thinking about this, we don't even have to shop at a store anymore. One click of a button on our computer or phone, and we can have whatever we want within 24 hours or even sometimes less time. We live in a real fast-paced world. In the early 1990s, there was a church in Florida that advertised a 22-minute worship service. They said, go there, and they promised you in 22 minutes, you'd be out of there. They guaranteed it. The sermons were only 8 minutes long. Don't even think about it. We're going longer than that today. John Ortberg coined a term that I think describes what many of us feel. He calls it hurry sickness. That's really an apt description of what so many people feel, hurry sickness. And then he gave this warning. He said, hurry sickness, whenever we're in a hurry, it diminishes our capacity to love and care for other people. And just think about it. When you're in a hurry, you just can't give the attention and the love and the care you'd like to give to somebody else. Here's what Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Patience is a virtue. It's a fruit of the Spirit, but it's also a virtue. And again, the Bible teaches us to develop patience. So how do we do that? How do we overcome all these roadblocks to patience? Well, first of all, I want to give you a definition of patience. Then I want to talk about God's patience, which is a real key to us having patience, and then show some application of patience. Let's start with the definition. The Greek word that's translated in English as patience means to be slow towards, to be long-suffering, to endure, and to be slow in avenging. Rick Warren wrote a devotion on patience. I love his definition. Here's what he wrote. He said, the Greek word for patience literally means it takes a long time to boil. You know, some of you take a long time to boil. Others probably not so long. And our goal is to take a long time. And so when you start to feel yourself boiling, remind yourself, this is a warning sign. It is time for patience. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, be patient with everyone. Wow, that's not easy to do. We need God to help us with that. And notice this, God commands us. He doesn't suggest it. But God never tells us to do something that he will not show first to us. And so here's the first thing we need to know about God, that we need to remember how patient God has been with us. The Bible is very clear. God is patient with us. It's part of his nature. It's one of the characteristics of who God is. In Exodus chapter 34, we read these words. The Lord passed before him, that was Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. It's part of God's nature to be patient with us. Thank God. If you are acquainted with the Old Testament, you know that God's patience was tested again and again. The Israelites would faithfully follow God, and then they'd be captivated by the God of some other culture, and they'd start to drift and think, well, maybe we'll start to worship this God instead. And then, as they worshiped these false gods, enemies would oppress them. They'd call out to God in their distress. They'd call out to him for his help, and he would rescue them. They would repent. They would turn back to God, only to begin to drift again, away again. But thankfully, God is merciful. God is kind to sinners. He is patient with us. One day, there will be judgment. But for now, his love and kindness towards us is patient. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Isn't that something? Paul looked at what he had done to the church previously, and he said, I am the worst of sinners. But then he goes on to write, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Paul says, I'm the worst of sinners, but God was patient with me. He showed his grace to me. He has forgiven me, and I've received eternal life. If someone had said to Paul, well, Paul, how did this happen? I think he would have said, I was powerless to change. But then God showed me mercy and patience, and my life changed forever. He turned me away from my foolishness. He turned me back to Him. In 2 Peter 3:9, Peter writes, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." You see, God is patient with us because He wants no one to perish. He wants all people to be saved. From all of time, God has displayed His love and His steadfastness so that people would come to repentance. And that's true today. God is patient with men and women who turn their backs on Him because He wants them to return to Him. I'm sure there are some people here this morning who would say, you know, for so long in my life, I rejected God, I ran from God, I ignored God. And I'm so grateful that He was merciful, that He was kind, that He was patient to me. And so if God is patient, here's the challenge. If God is patient with us, can't we be more patient with others? Yes, we can be. God will produce their fruit in us. So let me share with you some things we can do to prepare our hearts for that work of the Spirit to produce patience within us. First one is this: listen carefully to understand others. Listening takes patience. Sometimes listening's hard work. But without listening, we'll never understand somebody else. And so we need to listen. Remember, you have two ears and one mouth, so listen twice as much as you speak. And that can be a challenge for some. But if we want to understand people, truly understand them, we have to listen. In Proverbs chapter 14, we read, "A patient man has great understanding." But you have to have patience to have understanding. And the Bible says the key to patience is that understanding. No doubt you've seen that happen in your own life. When you understand somebody, you're more apt to be patient of him or her. When you don't understand them, you wonder, where in the world are they coming from? Well, it can be difficult to be patient. So understanding is a key to patience. And to understand people, you have to listen to them. Listen to what the Message translation says about that same proverb. "Answering before listening is both stupid and rude." Pretty blunt, but true. In other words, don't be quick to judge or assume you know what someone needs until you've heard it all. And it takes patience to hear it all. Make allowances for each other. I shared with you a few months ago that John Ortberg wrote a book, and the title of the book was this: "Everyone is Normal Till You Get to Know Them." Well, all of us have quirks. Not everybody sees the world the same way. Not everybody approaches problems the same way. Not everybody communicates the same way. Patience is required. And every once in a while, you just simply need to give somebody a break. You just need to allow for those differences. Sometimes the people you're dealing with are just having a bad day. That happens to all of us. So resist the urge to be snarly back to them. Show your love for them. Make allowances for their faults and that bad day. Give people the benefit of the doubt. I love what Martin Luther wrote in his explanation in the Small Catechism to the commandment, "Do not bear false witness." Luther said, "You should fear and love God," starts at that, "so that you do not lie, betray, slander, or defame your neighbor." But then here's the part I think that brings about patience. "But defend him, think and speak well of him, and put the best construction on everything." In other words, make allowance, give your neighbor a break, show patience. Treat others the way you want to be treated. If we did this, our relationships would thrive, and where there was brokenness in relationships, through patience, those relationships could be mended. Now, this is easy to understand, and yet it is difficult to practice. Paul wrote in Philippians 2, "Don't look only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had." To be more patient, take time to listen to what other people are interested in so that you truly understand them, and as you're patient with them, you'll be able to treat them just as you would like to be treated. Turn problems into opportunities for growth and patience. There's not a person here that has not faced problems or maybe are facing them right now. It's a part of the human condition. And we need to realize that those difficult times can be opportunities for growth. We're always going to have problems. Some are a quick fix, and yet some take patience. They require patience to sort the problem out and then to resolve it. Here's another definition of patience. Patience is a calm endurance based on the certain knowledge that God is in control. Well, that's huge. I have this assurance. I'm not sure how it's all going to work out, but I'm trusting God is in control. Maybe that's where you are right now, having to endure a difficult situation. Maybe you're raising a child, caring for an aging parent. Maybe you have a loved one who's ill in a hospital or a nursing home. And with COVID right now, it makes it all the more difficult. And it's a test of patience. Perhaps you're struggling with an illness, wrestling with finances, or navigating through a difficult relationship. You're weary. But patience is that quality that says, this too will pass. It's almost over. I can keep going. I will endure. Patience allows you to see the big picture, to look down the road, to persevere, and to persist. In Romans 5, we read, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they're good for us. They help us to learn patience. That's the Living Bible translation. Here's how King James Version says it. Tribulation worketh patience. How can this be? We would rather avoid trials, rather avoid troubles. We don't want to have to deal with them. But as unpleasant as a trouble may be, it can also be an opportunity to wait patiently on God to get you through that trouble. And it's that getting it through part that creates patience, can build patience in you. Accept disappointment with grace. A patient person can handle disappointment without compromising their Christian faith. A patient person can handle frustration, can handle affliction, can handle setback, can handle antagonism, can handle discouragement without compromising their faith. Here's one more definition. Patience is the ability to accept delay or disappointment graciously. Well, how do you handle delay? How do you handle disappointment? With grace or with frustration and anger? And again, we're all wired up differently. For some, it's more difficult than others. Yet patience is the ability to handle disappointment without letting it ruin your day. And be patient with those things or those persons that get under your skin. Again, in Romans 12, we read, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I want to share a poem with you about something getting under your skin. There once was an oyster, whose story I tell, who found that sand had gotten under his shell. Just one little grain, but it gave him such pain. For oysters have feelings, although they're so plain. Now, did he berate the working of fate, which had led him to such a deplorable state? No. As he lay on the shelf, he said to himself, if I cannot remove it, I'll try to improve it. So the years rolled by, as the years always do, and he came to his ultimate destiny, stew. And this small grain of sand, which had bothered him so, was by now a beautiful pearl, all richly aglow. Now this tale has a moral, for it isn't it grand, what an oyster can do with a morsel of sand. What couldn't we do if only we'd begin with all the things that get under our skin? A patient person learns how to handle those things and those people that get under their skin. They've learned not to take themselves too seriously, But they take God very seriously, and in doing so, they develop patience. God will teach you all these qualities, all these fruit of the Spirit throughout your life, but it will take the rest of your life. It's a process, because fruit is not produced overnight. God will use every situation that comes into your life to help you develop spiritual depth and to become more like Christ. If you've gotten online recently to try to register to get your COVID vaccination, you've had an opportunity to learn patience, haven't you? It's difficult. Hang in there. Have patience. Patience is a calm endurance. Patience is a steadfast perseverance. Patience is making allowance for others. Patience is listening to others so that you might understand them. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And just like love, joy, and peace, as you ask God for help, God will produce within you patience. Know this, patience is a rare mannerism produced in the person who knows Christ. Patience is a characteristic of a person who's led by the Holy Spirit. Patience is an indication of someone who is maturing or is mature in Christ. I'd like you to join me as we read together Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let's pray. Lord, we need your fruit of patience. Whether it's patience to wait upon you to answer our prayers, patience to listen and accept others different than we are, or patience to endure a troubling time, we ask for your patience. And we thank you that you will produce in each of us the fruit of the Spirit of patience as we abide in Christ and invite your Holy Spirit to strengthen us to be patient. Amen.